We've been looking together in the book of Acts, and we've had 2 months of a series called Go Out. That's the last component of our mission statement. We exist to love big, grow deep, and go out. So we've been focusing on going out with the good news of the gospel. And it's been a great series, and we're going to conclude it tonight by a bit of a review of our mission and our vision. And look at a story in Acts. You can turn to chapter 11. We'll start in verse 19. We'll get there in a moment. Before I go there, I want to give a few gifts out. So let me see a raise of hands if it's your birthday. Anybody have a birthday today? Okay, so that March 6th is just not the day for birthdays in this group. Okay, how about an anniversary? Anybody have an anniversary? Okay, so we had one of those in first service, 35th anniversary, and I gave lavish gifts to that couple. And so now I'm moving from celebrating into, I believe someone found an error in the bulletin this morning. So just, you know, in humility, I'm going to go ahead and honor and bless that. So Glenn, why don't you come up? And we have some mugs that say, love big, grow deep, and go out. And these will be for sale next week. But because he found the one, no, you need all three of them. They go together. It's the whole mission. You can't have a part of our mission. You got to have it all. All right. Have someone over for coffee. Yeah. Love big, grow deep, go out. Okay. So for you who are wondering, there's a place in the bulletin that talks about stuffing some eggs. Yeah, we missed that one. I don't know how we'll suff eggs, but anyhow. All right, so I have one other gift. This is also going to be available next week, next few weeks. This is our mission on the back and our logo on the front, Grace Covenant Church. This is a medium. Do I have anybody here who this is your first time at Grace? Yeah? Yeah, okay. I'm going to see. Oh. One of you back there gets that. Okay. That's as far as my t-shirt shooter goes. All right. So we're going to be looking this morning at our mission and our vision. And as we've looked at the passages in Acts that we've read over the last 2 months, one of the qualities of the church, the early church, the new church that was born and continued to grow in the book of Acts, as we read about it, one of the qualities that really impresses me is that they, at the same time, were growing in large numbers. While they were growing in large, large numbers, in certain places, that thousands came to faith in a particular day. So as they were growing wider, they also were growing deeper in their commitment in faith and in love with Jesus. So that is the name and the title of our message this day. The early church in Acts grew deep and wide. Deep and wide. Come on. All right. See, you're with me. All right. Now, next week, we're going to be doing a new series. Sue's going to introduce it for us, and it's going to be part of our Loving the Heavenly Father. We're going to do that as a part of our Easter series. So next week, the week after, which is Palm Sunday, so and then leading up to Easter, our series is going to be, What's Love Got to Do With It? Frank's got this song. I'll just get you a Tina Turner wig, and Frank will bring it. Okay, so we're going to start our series on What's Love Got to Do With It, and Sue's going to open that next week. So today, we're going to wrap up our Go Out series, and we're going to look at this story of this church in Antioch, beginning in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. And again, the quality of this church in Acts, as we look at it together, was that they grew in numbers radically, grew fast, and they grew in their depth, in their faith, in their commitment, in their love for Jesus. And churches who grow both deep and wide are pretty unusual. It's not easy to grow in your depth as a Christian community and constantly and consistently receive new people into the church family. We've been blessed over the last few weeks, and this morning's testimony is one more in a series of each week. We've been made aware of someone who's given their life in faith to Jesus Christ, and we join with angels in celebrating that every time it happens. So our complete vision statement, many of us know our vision statement is to see thousands saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. And the full version, which you can find on our web, is that we would have a wider reach to touch all the people in our community and beyond with the gospel of Jesus, and that we would, part two, have deeper roots to grow strong and fruitful while helping others to serve wholeheartedly. And so deep and wide is our vision, not just wide. There's a saying that many of you may know about, that person or that group is a mile wide and an inch deep. You ever heard that? Some of you are nodding your head. A mile wide and an inch deep. When people make that statement, they're not being complimentary. They're indicating that you might be significant in numbers, but there's no depth to you. We don't want to be that way. We want to be deep roots in Christ, deeply in love with God, deep in our commitment and in our faith, and wide in our influence until the whole community knows about Jesus. Okay? All right, so it's not easy, it's challenging, and we have an example here in Scripture. So I'm going to begin reading. I'll read from the New Living Translation, and we'll start with Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Here we go. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. Verse 21 is a keeper. It says, the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. A large number. Wide influence, wide fruitfulness into the kingdom. Verse 22, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and strong in faith. He had deep faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. Verse 27, during this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. And this was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. Verse 29, so the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea. I underline this in mine. Everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. Chapter 12, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. Verse 5, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Let's us pray together now. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for all of your word, Genesis to Revelation. Thank you for this story, this description of this vibrant church in Acts, the Antioch church. And Lord, let this example encourage us, inspire us, teach us, and help us grow to also be deep in our faith, in our roots, in you, Jesus, and wide in our influence and in the spread of the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Well, real quick, on this slide, I have a summary of the growth characteristics of this church in Antioch. You can take notes. You can look at this. You can take a picture of it with your phone. One of the growth characteristics, and this probably shocks a few of us in our Western thinking, is they were persecuted. They were a suffering church. And that persecution that came against them, James being killed, Peter being in prison, Stephen being killed, it did not hinder the growth of the body of Christ. It actually ended up spurring some of the growth by sending people all over the region in a way that they may not have done on their own. So if you're ever wondering about someone is seriously, deeply following the Lord, when you hit really difficult things, when you are persecuted, when your faith grows stronger, then you know that there is a depth to that person's faith. There's a depth to your faith. So the persecution did not end up stalling the church. It did not end up shutting the church down as the enemy would have intended. It actually spurred more life, more commitment, more faith, and the gospel spread through an even wider region. So one of the characteristics of this church in Antioch was that they experienced persecution, they experienced suffering, but it did not hinder them one bit. They actually are sending out Paul and Barnabas now, later Paul and Silas. They send out Barnabas and John Mark. They keep sending people out to the other regions to tell the good news. So they were a sending church who kept going out with the good news. Two times in this passage we read about the gospel being preached with power and large numbers of people responding to it. So they were a declarative group of people. They were speaking the word of the good news that Jesus came to change, to save us from our sin, and to redeem us, okay? And so the good news was being preached in power with much fruit, and it says they were giving. It says they gave, everyone gave as much as they could. They learned of a need of one of their sister churches. The church in Jerusalem had a need because of a famine that was coming, and so the church in Antioch gave a gift, and they sent Barnabas and Paul Saul back to Jerusalem with it. So they were a giving church. They were a sending church. They were a preaching God's word church. They were a persecuted church, and they were a praying church. It says here at the close of this passage that we read together, the top of chapter 12, that their response to crisis, their response to persecution and to the imprisonment of Peter was to earnestly pray. And if you read the rest of chapter 12, it is wonderful. We won't take time to do that this morning, but as the church was praying and Peter was imprisoned, the result of that earnest prayer was that Peter is miraculously released from prison. He has an angel visit him. His chains come off. He goes past all four groups of four soldiers that were guarding him. He gets to the gate of the prison. It opens in front of him, and it's so amazing. He thinks he's in a dream or a vision, and so he goes to the friend's house and finds them praying, and they are so amazed. They don't believe it's him out there. Have you ever prayed for something and God does such a better answer, you can't even believe it's true? Well, if you haven't had that experience yet, hang on, because I believe that's what God is up to right now. He wants to answer prayers that are prayed in faith and according to his will, and he wants to do it in a way that goes beyond what we're praying so that we're amazed that that answer came. Well, yeah, amen. Okay. So these are characteristics of this church. Now, we want to be like this church, right? These are wonderful qualities. So here's a little review of the vision. 3 years ago, God put us on a course of seeking his will, and we began a strategic planning process. Now, we are a charismatic church who believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So our planning process, I like to call a prayerful prophetic strategic planning process. That's more P's. And we had a guest speaker here the other at the conference, and he had 5 P's in his message, and he said the acrostic or acronym for that was I know, I laughed too when he said it. I thought, so this one, prayerful prophetic strategic planning process, is anyhow, I thought I'd try that. It, you'll remember it, I bet. Okay, so in this planning process that began 3 years ago, God made us aware of some things that we need to strengthen, and God gave us some awareness of opportunities to pursue. And so here is a list of what God has put on our heart and that we've been working on for the last 9 to 15 months, all right? So here it is real quickly. Actually, the very first one, Unifying Grace in Espanol with us, has been in the works for almost 3.5 years. And that came through prayer and prophetic times of being together. So here's the list. This is the comprehensive list. Unifying Grace in Espanol with us, strengthening connections within our body, improving communications, improving the use of technology, mentoring and discipling, strengthening our worship services, church planting, praying, outreach. I know you can read. I said that for the benefit of anyone listening. And so that's the list of things that God has put on our heart. And that's a lot to work on all at once. And so we've been tackling the top ones. And I just want to take a moment and make sure we understand what unifying us with grace in Espanol means. For 30 years ago, Dick reminded me, our founder was in first service, he reminded me that it was 30 years ago that God, we ordained a retired missionary from Mexico, Weldon Martin, and we birthed a Spanish-speaking congregation in this community. We think, as far as we know, is the first one in this community 30 years ago. And in the course of time, it grew and grew, and we would have described our growth as a Hispanic congregation and Grace Covenant Church as on parallel tracks of a train. We were going down the road together, but they had their own leadership team and vision, and we had our leadership team and vision, and what we shared was the facility. And we shared it reasonably well. Sharing always pushes buttons inside of us, yeah? So we had our moments, but we were on a 30-year track of sharing the same facilities, but we had separate leadership teams and separate visions. Not separate, but parallel. And we got to this crossroads about 3.5, 4 years ago. We were like, Lord, what do you want to do? And the options were to send that group off on their own to plant an independent church and let them continue to grow, because they were bumping against some restrictions in sharing. Another option is to just stay on the path, status quo. You keep having parallel meetings and vision and with us, and we'll status quo, stay the way we are. And the third option was to become more unified and more integrated. And that's what the Lord spoke to us, and that's what we've been pursuing. And a strategic piece of that puzzle was finishing the upstairs so that the Spanish service that met at 1:30 for all of those years could move to an 11 o'clock service when we're having this service, and we could have our children ministered to together in children's ministry. Our volunteers work together, and our children are learning about Jesus together, okay? So that was by Holy Spirit-led direction and prophetic plan. That wasn't we fell into a great idea and are marketing it now, okay? So what does it mean that we're more unified? Well, a few years ago I said something along these lines, or maybe not even that long, and somebody interpreted that eventually we were going to have every service all together and it would all be bilingual and we would be the United Nations and that certainly is one way to proceed, but that isn't what God was sharing to us. God was saying, I believe as long as immigrants are coming to this community who are native Spanish speakers, we're going to have a Spanish service or multiple ones, because this is an opportunity to reach out and see people saved who are coming to this community for work, and that's what they think they're coming for, and Jesus has another plan for them, and they're getting saved and being brought into the kingdom of light, and their lives are being transformed, and that's why we have a Spanish-speaking service, and will, as long as people come who speak Spanish. And it's the largest minority in our community, that language sector, okay? So we're always going to have that, and we're excited that they're going to multiple ones on Easter Sunday. But what we've done is we've combined. 3 years ago, we combined our youth services. A couple years ago, we combined our children's ministry. Last year, we combined our worship ministry. And so we have native Spanish speakers who join us in the band at different times on Sunday morning services. And we have Anglos who don't know a lick of English who are playing their instrument for the glory. Yeah, they don't know English either. No, forgive me. Yes, they do. They don't know. Thank you for listening when I get... You're going to help me later on too, so love. All right, so our worship teams have combined. Our children's ministries have combined. Our youth ministries have combined. I believe our men's and women's ministries are going to do more cooperative things together. God is into removing barriers that separate us in the kingdom of God, whether it's economic, whether it's social, whether it's color of skin, whether it's language you speak. He loves to break down every barrier in his family and bring us into unity. And we're doing that as much as we know how to do it and as the Lord leads us, okay? All right, spend a lot of time on that one. We need to strengthen our connections. God has shown us as we receive more and more new people into our church family, we need to be better at helping people learn who we are, how to connect, how to serve, how to get in a small group, and so better at welcoming new people into our family. Because we love that God has called us to this great big vision of seeing thousands of people saved and healed, and we have to grow in our ability to receive new family members. And so we've strengthened our connections in that regard. We're also strengthening the small group in ministry in our church so that everyone who is here can grow deeper in Christ. Not just that we would receive thousands of new people, but that we would, every person who's here would grow deeper in Christ. And a year from now, all of us would have the testimony that I'm more in love with Jesus, I'm more committed in my faith to him, I'm a deeper rooted disciple in Christ. So we're strengthening the receiving of new people, and we're strengthening the connections in small group, and we're going to have more small groups and more small groups and more small groups. And in the last year, our Grace in Espanol people started 6 new small groups, and they have another one getting started real soon, and we have new ones on the horizon. Okay, so strengthening. Improving communications, improving use of technology. That can seem kind of like, how spiritual is that? Well, I just want you to know, try to move any group of people, small or large, anywhere, and ignore communication and ignore the use of technology and see how that goes for you. And so we need to grow consistently. We will never, this strengthening communication and strengthening the use of technology is not a destination we will ever arrive at and be done. It is a journey that we are committed to until Jesus comes back. Okay? All right. So those are all things we've been working on. We want to have more mentoring and discipleship going on at every level, particularly for new believers, also for the younger generations. But whoever you are in this room right now, there's someone that you can help lead into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Every one of us has someone that we can do that with if we just ask the Lord and open our eyes to those around us. Strengthening our worship services. Every aspect. We want our sermons to be better. We want our worship to be more better. I almost said that. Okay, you were excellent. We want our prayer ministry to be better. We want our children's ministry to be better. We want our welcoming area to be better. We want every aspect of when we gather as a large group to continually improve and bring more glory to God and remove any barrier that gets in the way of people encountering the presence of the living God when we gather together. Okay? We want to be fruitful in church planting again. We want prayer to increase and strengthen in our midst, and we want to be more fruitful in our outreach, like this example of this church that we've just read about in the book of Acts. Now, at the same time, we've been doing all of this in terms of strengthening our relationships and strengthening the church family. We've had a parallel improvement going on within our facilities. How many of you remember what we were doing 5 years ago? Trick question. One of the things we were doing is we were finishing the drawings and the plans for our brand new nursery and storage addition over here. And that new nursery we are using now on Sunday mornings. When it first got built, we used it exclusively for the daycare that runs in our social hall 5 days a week. And that was the impetus for building it. But now we've got our Sunday morning services, our nurseries there, because we no longer have a nursery back here. Because what we have back here is an amazing lobby. Yeah? Yeah. Remember last summer, we were walking through a construction zone. And I just have to say, we had guests here for a conference the other week, and it's amazing how quickly you take something for granted that is just amazing. Like, a year ago, remember what those bathrooms were like a year ago? Here's how amazing our bathrooms are. A few weeks ago, I was over here getting some hot chocolate out of the hot water dispenser, and I see the UPS man come flying down the hall, runs into men's room, uses it, boogies out the door, hops in his truck, and takes off. I'm like, UPS servicemen are taking a detour and using our bathrooms. They're so awesome. Now, since I was over here, I'm imagining he dropped a package over in the office. But it looked to me like his only reason for being here was the amazing bathrooms. It's awesome. It's such a gift. And it removes barriers for people who come here. Really. Like, there are certain places I will pull off the interstate and use the bathroom, and there's certain other places I will not. I'll say it that way. Okay. So we've put a nursery on 5 years ago and storage. Last year we did the lobby. We did the pavilion 4 years ago. We redid roofing and we did the upstairs renovation 2.5 years ago. And all of those are preparing this place to receive more and more people to see them saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. We have improved dramatically our capacity in a physical sense for God to do what he wants to do. Way to go. And we're not done. Because right now, the biggest area of improvement that remains is, by the way, don't go to the social hall and use those bathrooms. Because they're not like this one or like the one upstairs. Okay? Just saying. And so those got to be done this year. I said this year. Those got to be done when the Lord says, excuse me. Okay, and another thing that has to be done is the playground. Any of you with young kids, I just want to apologize for the splinters and the bees that have bitten your kids and the stitches that have come. And I pray periodically that no one will sue us for the 30-year-old play structure that we have. It has served us well, and it serves the community. There are thousands of people who use that playground in the course of a couple months. And that's wonderful. And so the new play structure that we've got to have is going to serve even more people and serve the community better and not leave you with stitches or splinters or other things like that. So we've done some improving over the last 5 years, and that's cost some money and quite a bit. And we've done some improving in our church family, in our body, in our spiritual, emotional beings. And God is on the move, and we've got more to do. Now, I'm a picture man, and I just want to show you just what's been happening in the last 4 or 5 years. So that EKG looking graph is not the heart rhythm of the church. That's the attendance. And so that's tracking about a 4-year period. We had a little dip in 2012, 2013, and now things are on the rise. And you can see about the last 3 months, the last 12 or so dots over there on the right, things are going way up right now. And that's an indication of what God's doing, okay? Now, it also bears with the tithing, the giving in this church. So things had kind of plateaued for a while that kind of mirrored that trough on the attendance. And then over the last year, in particular, last year, 2015, was the best year we've ever had in finances. And this year is starting ahead of that. The last 2 months. Look at the back of your bulletin. For January and February, within $27. I don't know how amazing that is, but within $27, we exceeded our budget for the first 2 months of the year. And that has never happened, and we did it in the middle of a snowmageddon. That's, God is doing really good things, and I'm so grateful. And I just want to say that measuring things numerically in terms of attendance and measuring things numerically in terms of giving are certainly ways to see what God's doing, but even more impressive is what God's doing in individual lives. And how do we measure that? How do you measure someone who's more in love and more deeply committed in their relationship with the Lord? What measurements do we have for that? We really don't have very good ones, but we can observe the growth of people from the fruit in their lives. And the fruit in our lives is that as we get more in love with God and we get more preoccupied with his mission and vision, we start sharing everything he's doing in our life with other people, and kids go away for the weekend and they get saved and they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they go do it with their friends. And that's what happened a couple weeks ago at the college retreat, and that's what happened this weekend. And church, that's going to keep happening because God is on the move and we're focused on what he cares about. And as we do that, hang on. I was really more excited in what I just said than the looks I'm getting on the faces out here. Okay, so this is all good stuff that's going on. Now, when I talk about the mission, to love big, grow deep, and go out, when I talk about our vision to see thousands saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus, that we would have a wider reach into our community, that all would hear about the gospel, and that we would grow deeper roots. Some of us can hear all that, and we're saying yes to it, but we aren't quite sure how to connect and embrace what can I do to participate in that more fully. And so I want to do something that I hope is practical and helpful. And if we could have your team, Donna Marie, get all of those things handed out right now, let's do that. There's this card that everyone's going to receive. So everybody get one. All right, they're going to be handing it out right now. And Joanna, you can, if you're in the house, we can have you play. I just want to summarize what we've been sharing. As a church family, we can get more connected, we can embrace and be more involved in the vision of Grace Covenant Church that God has given us by giving more sacrificially and generously than we've ever given, by serving in ways that we haven't served before, by praying more earnestly like the church in Antioch was praying, by going and sending others out with the love of Jesus and the things that he's been doing in our midst. We want to connect people to God more and more, connect one another to the body of Christ, disciple them, help them grow deeper, that they would go out and do the same. So there's my list on this slide, but you are receiving a response card right now. And this response card gives you some very tangible, very practical, very applicable ways to connect and participate in the vision that God has given Grace Covenant Church. So I hope everybody has gotten one now. And for everyone who's gotten one, you're already reading and you didn't hear anything I just said, and that's okay, because what I just said was a review, and I've already told you that. What I'm going to do here in a moment is I'm going to quit talking and let you have some time with the Lord and respond in the way that he leads you on this card. This card is a prompter for you to connect with the vision and the mission of Grace. It is not an exhaustive list. You will notice that the back of this response card is completely blank for you to write on it as much as you want. And once you've had some time with the Lord here together to write, to check off any of them that resonate with you, you're going to take this home and you're going to keep it all year. Okay? This isn't a leave it here in church response card. This is a take it home and continue to respond to the Holy Spirit all through 2016. So I invite you to take this card and put it on your refrigerator, so that you see it multiple times a day. Or put it on your bathroom mirror. Or put it in your journal where you have your devotionals every morning. And every time you're spending time with the Lord, look over. These are ways God is calling me to connect with the vision at Grace. I'm going to press in. I'm going to go for more. Okay? So this is the start of prompting you. This isn't exclusive. You get to add to this list anything that the Lord's speaking to you. But you may want to just quickly read through these and check them off. Keep them with you all through the year. Okay. I started off talking about it's unusual for churches to be deep and wide. It's more typical of a church to cater itself primarily to people who are Christians, and they're going to disciple people to be better Christians and to thrive in their relationship with the Lord. And then there's other churches that are really, really hyper-focused on seeing brand new people come to faith. And there was a name for that. There were so many churches focused on that in the 90s. They were called seeker-sensitive churches. You remember that name? And when people talked about seeker-sensitive churches, they didn't really say it in a complimentary way when I was around. Because they were shallow. They were an inch deep. They weren't going for the deeper things of God. Well, how many of you want to be a church that's seeker unsensitive? Not me. So being both deep and wide, being a church that people who have known the Lord for 30 years can grow in, and being a church that people who are brand new Christian can grow in, is what is on God's heart. And that's the example we have here in the early church in Acts. That's who we're called to be. We're called to be a church that helps people grow in God, no matter how young or how old they are in God. And we're called to have a wider influence in this community. And God is on the move, and that's what he's called us to do. And I'm excited about it. Now, before I be quiet and let you respond to the Lord on these cards, I just want to acknowledge that I haven't met anyone yet who says it's not a good idea to grow deeper in God, right? We have a pretty large agreement on growing deeper in God. I have yet never heard anybody say, stop it. Don't get any holier and don't get any more like Christ. Just stop right now. We don't think that way, right? More of God in our life, less of me, more love, more power, more Holy Spirit, more like Christ, transformation. Until Jesus comes back or until I go home to meet him, we should be changing and being transformed into the likeness of Christ, right? No stopping there. But here's what I think I do notice at times is some of us just aren't quite sure about this get wider and keep getting wider and keep getting bigger and keep getting. Now, I got my hang-ups because I come from a very, you've heard about my story and my Mennonite roots, and you don't draw attention to yourself, and churches that are large certainly do that, and that's not a good thing. I'm being facetious, okay? But those attitudes exist. There's false humility that would say, don't get big. There's other hang-ups we have with being big. We don't want to be bigger simply because we have an ego that needs to be stroked. Right? We don't want to be bigger so that we can be more preoccupied with ourselves, with the bigger church and the bigger community of faith, right? We want to be bigger because it's God's purpose that living things grow. And I don't know where you're at on this whole continuum of growth and bigger. Some of us struggle with it, I sense. Others of us are cool with it. I just want you to know that we should be as big as God wants us to be. That's the benchmark for me. And I'm not sure what that number is, but it's bigger. Because as long as there's people in this community who haven't met Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior yet, we're not too big. I'll say that again. As long as there are people in this community who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we have room to add another member to this body. Yeah, okay. So here's where I wanna just press this thought home with a personal story, and I wanna get this right, so my wife's gonna help me with this one. Soon I got married 27 and a half years ago, anniversaries in September, and you know, when you're newlyweds, you have an idea of what's going to happen in the future. And we knew we wanted a family at some point, and God blessed us with children. And I just have to say, in terms of what our human capacity is, I think one or two children pretty much was my, I was so daggone selfish. I like to say that in past tense, like it doesn't really happen anymore. But if God gave us children based on our capacity, one or two would have been it. Right? Am I saying this right? We've got four children, and I don't want any of our four children, two of them are looking at me right now. I don't want any of our four children to think that anything. God is amazing, and God knows what he wants in our lives better than we know what we want. And we've always wanted children, and I don't think we had a fixed number, but anyhow, I'm talking in terms of capacity. When we went from two children to three children, we were maxed out. We found out that we needed to rely on God more and more and more than we ever had before. We kind of thought we knew what we were doing with one. My two kids are laughing at me right now. I'll get debriefed at home, I can guarantee you that. Okay, so as our family grew, here's the best way to say it. As our family grew, our reliance and our dependence on the power of God and our weakness got more and more revealed, and his strength and his goodness got more and more revealed. Okay? So I don't know what your preference is for church size and what's, I don't really care. I care what he wants. And as I said before, he knows what he created this church for, and he knows where he's taken us. And I believe that as long as there are people who want to know and grow and follow Jesus, there's room in this church to grow. How'd I do with that? Here's a picture. We love to plan and we like to see what's coming down the road. When we had our four children in 5.5 years, it seemed like a great idea then. But we got to a point of desperation and need for God when the third teenage driver got added to our insurance policy. And so I will have this memory of Sue opening the mail, looking at it, and going outside and watering plants and just crying. It's like, oh God, what were we doing? We can't do this. The number of digits in that insurance bill was obscene. But God is faithful and God provides. And a few years later, we had three in college. And God provided. It doesn't make sense on paper, but what he wants matters. And what he wants, he will provide for. And what he wants this church to grow into will be for his glory, and it will be amazing. And we aren't there yet. So hang on. All right. Jana plays so beautifully. I'm going to be quiet. I want you to just listen to the Lord. Here's a list on the response card of ways you can become more connected to the vision here at Grace. Please take a moment, listen to the Lord, and respond however he nudges you. I want to invite you to stand. If anyone didn't get one of these cards, you can grab one. They're on the back box as you leave. Anyone who's listening on tape, we'll keep them in the information kiosk for the next few weeks if you want to respond. Remember, this is to take home, keep it in a prominent place, keep reviewing, keep listening to the Lord, keep updating it, write in whatever he's telling you in regards to connecting and embracing with the vision that God's called your church family to embrace. I want to close by just blessing you as a congregation, and then at the amen, you're released to go, and you'll be invited. Anyone who needs prayer for anything, the ministry team will be up here, and we'll pray for you. Bow your heads as I pray this blessing, this benediction, and if you're comfortable, you can raise your hands and in a posture of receiving. Heavenly Father, I bless this church family. I bless each one of you to grow deeper roots in Christ. I bless you with love that grows deeper and more intimate with your Heavenly Father. I bless you with power that comes from a deeper filling of the Holy Spirit. I bless you with power to know the love of God that goes beyond human understanding. I bless you with faith to trust God to overcome the obstacle that's standing in front of you. Whether that obstacle is a broken relationship, a sick body, unemployment, a wandering child, a chronic sin habit or addiction, no matter what the obstacle in front of you is, I bless you with bigger and deeper faith to trust God that He will overcome it. I bless you with stewardship that is wise with all that God provides. I bless you with provision to be even more generous to the Lord than ever before. I bless you with a hunger for God's word, and I bless you with a passion to earnestly pray. Now may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to each one of you. May the Lord show you favor and give you His amazing peace. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you to go out and share the love of Jesus with everyone you meet, everywhere you go. If you need prayer for anything, come forward. Our ministry team will come and pray with you. God bless you. Go.